just a moment to get set. Well, hello, Mark. Fancy meeting you here. Give us a second here to get settled. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dale Rain, one of Central's elders. And what I'd like to do is introduce all of the elders up here. We have a couple down in the front row here. We have Chuck Bridge and Mark Menning are down here.
Mark
Hegel, sorry. Menning is not the right name. Mark, I'm sorry. He's in the back. Yeah, there he is. Raise your hand. There you go. So he's back there, too. I mean, now you know where they both are. But if we want to start with you, Randy. Just kind of introduce yourself so they kind of know the names of all the elders here.
I'm Randy Owens.
Sean Hood.
I'm Brett McDonald.
You're an elder.
Oh, Mark Westerfield.
George Lee and Carl Land.
George and Carl in the end. Okay. So as Rodney said, we're in a little bit of a different format this morning, and it's because, as most of you know, at the end of this year, Pastor Mark is going to transition out of his role as senior pastor for Central. And the elders have a plan for this, and we have a plan for what's next. And so this morning, we want to make sure we communicate primarily three things to you. One, God's providential hand in leading us to this point that we're at right now. Two, the elders' love and care for all of you here at Central. You are our flock given to us by Jesus, and we take that very seriously. And then number three, the plan over the next 9 months. So the first thing you need to know about this plan is that it's the result of the work of church leadership, including our pastors. So any of the pastors that are out here in this service, if you'll stand up and remain standing. we've got a little pastor in training over here. So in addition to the pastors, there are two bodies responsible for overseeing Central, basically. The elders are charged with the spiritual oversight of the church. And then we have the operations team, and they are charged with the personnel, finances, and other operations of the church. And depending upon your background, this might look a little different, this team, depending on where you come from. Some churches will break that up into a personnel committee or a budget and finance committee. For efficiency purposes, Central combines that into one operations team. So if the operation team members would stand and remain standing for a moment, if they're here. Okay. So these men you're seeing, along with the elders up here, these are the guys who have watched over our church, cared for you guys, and have been instrumental in praying and thinking through this succession plan. We are not surprised that Pastor Mark is going to transition at the end of this year. In fact, you're going to see in a second how this kind of goes back many years, and actually about a decade ago. So let me walk you through kind of the main points of that timeline and give you a sense of where we've been. Oh, yes, yes, sit down. Thank you, Carl. I did that in the first service, too. I'm like, I just want to test their leg strength or something. I don't know.
I was getting tired for
it. Yeah, were you?
Yeah.
So Mark began ministry in Round Rock almost 40 years ago. And I told him in the first service that I was a tender 17-year-old at that time. And that's a lot of water under the bridge. And the Lord used he and Pam to plant Central 30 years ago. And we celebrated that anniversary last year. Then 10 years ago, Mark began the process of establishing the elders to share responsibility in leading Central. 8 years ago, Central members affirmed a decision to change its governing structure to an elder-led congregation. And early on, when the elders began to meet, they were already having discussions with Mark at his prompting on what his succession one day may look like. And then 8 years ago as well, we called Brett to be our worship pastor. 4 years ago, the elders then approached Brett to begin praying and thinking through possibly being Mark's successor. So even that at that time, 4 years ago, maybe a little bit more, the elders were already sensing that God was kind of leading in this direction with Brett. But we wanted to make sure we were hearing him. So we asked Brett to pray. We all, of course, kept praying about it. Then 2 years ago, I'm sorry, 3 years ago, Brett began to lead the church staff in different ways. 2 years ago, Brett began to attend the elder meetings as a non-voting member. And then 2 years ago, Mark began struggling with his health. 6 months later, about a year and a half ago, the elders made Brett an official voting member of the elder group. And then since then, of course, Brett has taken on more responsibility in the church. He's leading the staff. He's preaching more. He's developing sermon series and so forth. So it's been Mark's dream, actually, to transition out of his role as senior pastor in 2025 for some time. It's not his health that's done this. This has been an ongoing conversation. So at the end of this year, Mark will mark 40 years of ministry in Round Rock, and then he will transition out of senior pastor at Central. And we, the elders, along with the support of the pastors, the operations team, the church staff, we all set before you, Central, Brett McDonald as Mark Westerfield's successor. So we know this has changed. There's a lot of change around this, and we know that change is hard, particularly when it's changed to something that's so important to you, like Central is. And we know that you probably have some questions, maybe a couple, I don't know. And the first question you probably have is, well, what about Pastor Mark? What's he going to do when he transitions out of this? And how does he feel about all this? So, Mark, I'll let you address that question.
I'm against it, Dale.
Are you?
Right. I really am.
We need to go back to the drawing board, guys.
You know, everything is going to evolve. We are not leaving Central. This is our home. You're our family. So we are here. And I will continue to be on staff just in another role. Part of it, you know, 15 years ago, God allowed me to start ministering to the other pastors in the community. And one of my desires is to take that even farther. And so I'm going to have time to be able to invest in other pastors as well. And that's one thing. Number two is that Dale and Kim Ream are starting a class for new believers, and not just new believers, but for those of you that didn't get growth tools and how to mature in your faith. And so Pam and I are going to help Dale and Kim in that area as well. Also, you know, my giftings are not communication necessarily. My giftings are more in the pastor shepherd role. And so what I'm going to be able to do, I will continue to have an office up here, so if you need me, but I will be able to do pastoral care. You know, I love you guys so much. And so it allows me the opportunity to use my giftings as far as pastoring you on a pastor shepherd level. I will preach as needed, and it's not my desire. You know, many pastors come to this point, they want to do fill-ins at other churches, and that I will do that, but that's not my really my forte. I want to preach as I'm needed, but I want to go into other churches just to encourage those pastors and those congregations. But number one is this. I jokingly said in the first service, I'm going to take up running, and I have 4 years of football eligibility left, and so I'm thinking about that. But literally, the number one thing is that I want to support Brett any way that I possibly can. And he's not me. I appreciate so much the gifts in him, and I'll speak about that in a moment. But my desire is to, and all through this process, is to set him up to succeed, and I will be his number one cheerleader as we go forward.
That's good. Another question you might be asking is, well, what about changes? We get a new pastor on board. Surely there's going to be some kind of changes that happen. What will those look like? So I'm going to let Brett address that one.
Yeah, so Central has been not just a church for 30 years, but it's been like the rock in this community for 30 years. And it's been a great church, and many of you have been here from the start, and if not the start, pretty close to it, and you've been a part of it. And so this church is the way that it is today because of you and because of Pastor Mark's leadership. And so, you know, what's going to change? Well, there are some things that will necessarily change. You know, you've been experiencing some of those as I've been preaching more. That's going to continue. I'm going to be preaching. Maybe you had grown accustomed to Mark throughout the years, and that's going to change. And things like that will change. I don't have the same giftings as Pastor Mark. I'm a different person. And so some of those things you'll kind of see come out. But we're still going to be the church that we've been. We're going to have the same values. We're going to have the same culture. We're still going to love God's word. We're still going to love this community. We're going to still put our passion into welcoming new people among us from the minute that they park their car for the first time on a Sunday morning and seeing them all the way through the process of becoming a new member. We're going to be passionate about that. And we're going to be passionate about bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to this community and ultimately all over the world. Those things won't change. So that's what I'm looking forward to partnering with you guys.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. Speaking of changes, you may also be wondering, well, what about the rest of the staff, the church staff? Any other changes with that, with those folks? What will that look like if there's any coming? I'm going to toss that one to Sean.
Thank you, Dale. You know, like Brett was saying, many of us have been here for the whole 30 years of Mark's tenure, and I can tell you that our staff looks different today than it did 30 years ago. And just like our pastoral, our preaching bench, we have a deep bench of pastors. We have a really deep bench of staff that make this church run on a daily basis. 12 to 18 months ago, to smooth out the actual transition timing, the timing where we're at today, the elders started strategically making changes among the staff. And so with that, Brett moved into the role of pastor. Rodney moved into the role of worship. Chris moved into the role of executive over ministry. Jared moving from youth to young adults, just strategic things that we could do. Those things are already in place. Those things are already working smoothly. And so as we roll out transition throughout the rest of the year, I'd just like to say we've been experiencing our new normal. This is really the way Central is functioning right now, is the way we intend for it to function moving forward.
Thanks, Sean. You might also be wondering, well, hey, what's the role of elders in this? It's an elder-led church, so how does that look for you guys? Depending upon your background, you may have seen a pastoral succession plan operate differently than it is right now with Central. Randy, why don't you walk us through kind of the role or the function of elders and what the procedure for the succession plan looks like with us.
You guys have such good voices. Give me some reverb on my voice.
Yeah. You know. And some bass. We love each other, by the way.
Yeah. What's your name? Like I said, this is kind of a recap. It has been 8 years since Central affirmed becoming an elder-led church. And like Dale said, I'm often asked, what does an elder do? My wife asked me that. many of you are well acquainted with what an elder's role is. God laid it out in his word, or maybe you came from a church that was elder-led. Elders are much like pastors in that we're caregivers and overseers of the church family. We teach, we address doctrinal issues, we pray for each member of our church family. And the life of an elder, by God's grace, should be an example of Christ-like leadership. By God's grace. I'll repeat that. Anyway, during this time, as elders, Mark recognized the need for the elders to specifically pray for who the successor would be after him. And somebody that he could mentor, somebody that he could walk beside and guide him and just talk him through the process of what was going to be taking place. As elders, we had witnessed Brett's leadership and his giftings as a communicator while serving as Central's worship leader. And we viewed that as somebody that could fill this role in succeeding Mark. I'm reading this because I don't want to leave anything out. But in November of 2020, we approached Brett and asked him to prayerfully consider stepping into the role of senior pastor or lead pastor. And Brett had just begun his doctoral studies in ministry at Southern Seminary in Kentucky that he completed last year. And But he humbly accepted the challenge that we laid before him and the invitation. And after months of dedicated prayer, and there was much prayer, people, and there was a lot of discussion regarding this, as said, because of Mark's tenure here, this was something brand new for us. And we wanted to hear from the Lord before making any steps, and that we would be completely unified in this step as well. So in three weeks, it'll be April 14th, we're going to ask that you, as members, would join with the elders in affirming Brett McDonald as our new lead pastor in the days, months to come. And we also would ask that you would continue to pray for us, but pray for our church, that we would continue to develop in a way that God can use us in this community and beyond here. We are grateful for your dedication and your commitment to our church, and it fuels us when we meet together.
Thanks, Randy. It's interesting. Oh, Sean, you got something else? Go ahead.
Yeah, I have one other way that you as a congregation can help us. I'd like to say that as the elders, we want to help you help Mark. As I said, I've been here 30 years, and whenever I have a question, who do I go to? Well, I'll just call Mark. And Mark will dutifully give me the answer or point me in the right direction. And it's not that we are putting Mark out to pasture. We want his pastures to be greener. And so I'm asking you, the elders are asking you, that in the future, as Mark transitions, as Mark might reduce his workload, as he pursues new pursuits for our church, we're asking you to direct your questions. The questions you would normally say, hey, I'll just ring up Mark and ask him, bring those back to the staff. Bring those back to Chris. Bring those back to Brett. Bring those back to the elders. And we will point you in the right direction, and we will let Mark transition gracefully.
And because, thanks, Sean, because we know you're going to have questions as we walk through this together, there's actually part of our website that's specifically dedicated to the succession plan. You can find that at centralrr.com/succession. Encourage you to go check that out. But if the question's not answered there, or you come up with a question that we haven't addressed, then you can also send an email to us at elders@centralrr.com. What I was about to say before I stomped on Sean was it's interesting when we elders kind of look back through the timeline that we laid out for you today, that with a rare exception, every time there was a need to lead a ministry or to lead out in something, God has provided a leader for that from inside of Central. So he is developing and raising up leaders among us, and he's doing that before the need's even apparent to us, so that when something like this occurs, the plan is already there. He's already provided the resources and the people, and it's just for us to follow him. And so that it's just such a cool thing to watch.
Yeah.
Mark, do you want to, I know you had a couple of things you want to say.
Let me just add some meat to the bones. I grew up in a Baptist church, and it's always been part of my, I got saved through a Baptist church. I got called in the ministry, and I love the different streams, but I love what Baptists stand for in the area of the word and evangelism and missions. And we are heavily involved in that, obviously, as a congregation. But I never was a part of a church that had an elder board. And so there have been different times when I read the scriptures. I know the pastors are measured under the criteria of an elder in scripture, But there's something about plurality of leaders. And so we had a small group that we did a deep dive into the scriptures to see what elders are. And I can tell you this, each congregation has people called elders, but they look a little different. And so we prayerfully looked into this scripturally, and we felt by God's leading, we needed to be an elder-led church and not an elder-ruled church. There's a difference. Elder-ruled means the elders make every decision. They're the guys that make every decision that is made in the church, and you have no say-so. And I just don't. I think with the congregation, we're family. We need to be different. We're an elder-led group, and part of from the very beginning, the comment was made, what if Mark gets hit by a bus? And that didn't set well with me, but I knew what they were saying. And they would say it all the time, what if you get hit by a bus? And so we needed a plurality of leaders that if something were to happen to me, we would have not just pastors, but people to give spiritual oversight to our congregation. And these shepherds love you immensely. And like Randy said, we pray for you every Wednesday when we meet. And so we began this process knowing that part of the deal would be Mark's, I apologize, I'm getting older, and tomorrow's my birthday, actually, yeah. And so we prayed, God, show us what steps we need to take. And so we began to pray, and we actually started a process of what that might look like even before Brett came into the picture. And as Brett began to, his leadership began to develop, for you that are guests here, Brett's been on staff 8 years. And so he knows the culture, he knows you, you know him. And so we began to pray, and as Brett was working on his D-men, when Brett preaches, you want to get in the Word more, and he's such a good communicator, and he's a leader, he's a strategy guy, and so it just was looking like God was raising up a leader from within. And I know some of you have been a part of churches before. You had a search team, and they go look at everybody and this kind of thing. Well, I'm a person that believes where God is speaking and God is moving, you want to get on board with him, and you want to walk forward with that. And folks, God has been enthroned upon everything that Central has done. We went through a church merger 30 years ago. Mergers aren't supposed to make it. And here we are 30 years later. Pastors are to stay for a short season. And here I've been here 31, and Alan's about to complete 30, and we have long-term staff. We've just seen God glorified through all of this. And for 30 plus years, for some of you, I've been your pastor, and we've never had to fulfill the lead pastor role or senior pastor. Or I jokingly said in the first service, because Libby Seaton was here, Libby, I've had 3 assistants in 30 years. How about that? Libby Seaton, Becky O'Brien, and Kathy Walker, who is currently my assistant. And Libby one time wrote the bulletin when we had those senior pastor. I don't know where titles come from. But we've never had to look for a lead pastor. And so when Randy says we need to affirm this as a family, affirm what the elders are bringing forward, sometimes churches call those vote. You know, rolling dice is more biblical than voting. Really. I mean, when you read the scriptures, that's the case. But, and so we're in election year, so people think, okay, who's running against Brett for this? And that's not the way you do things. You follow what God is saying, and if God is saying this to a plurality of people, and I want you to know, people wonder, is all the staff, are all the pastors on board? Are all the ops team on board? Are all the elders on board? I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, everybody is completely on board. And if they're lying to me, they'll tell me later, or they'll burn. But they are. Completely on board, and so we see what God has raised up here, and I'm thinking, God, you've been so good, because a pastor's been here 30 years, you know, his DNA, his culture's kind of around, and somebody from outside stepping in, they would be a sacrificial lamb to a certain degree. But you know Brett, you know his heart, you know his skills. And I'm not Brett. I'm a relational, intuitive kind of guy. When I got into lead pastor situation, especially as church planner, people want to say, what's your vision, Mark? What's your vision? And I have stressed over vision. I would write down 5-year things and 10-year things, and God would blow those out of the water. And I'm thinking, why am I wasting my time on this stuff? And God is just moving, and I want to get on board with Him. And so, that's the way I'm kind of wired. But I can tell you, Central, Brett, and my giftings aren't going away. Pam and I are still here. She's on the ladies' ministry team and oversees the greeters, and she will continue to do that. But Brett is a strategist. He's an X's and O's kind of guy, and I love that, because we need that. We need that, the giftings, to go to the next level that we need to go to. And so that's just kind of giving you a little bit of the background as to what brings us together today. And so, and the elder, Mark and Chuck are down here. Once you're an elder, you're always an elder, but we make sure you rotate off for a season, or you're not a voting, but you're always an elder. And Chuck and Mark and Johnny Huggins were some of our original elders. And some are going to rotate off, and we've got a plan as we look at new men to step into this role and everything. But I want to just share with you from my heart, just a couple of minutes. What are churches known for in America? Preachers. You got charismatic, dynamic preachers. And I always get a bristle when somebody says, Mark's church. This isn't my church. This is the Church of Jesus Christ, not Latter-day Saints, but the Church of Jesus Christ. So it's his church. It's not my church. But in America, we follow men. And when those men fall, we fall because we've put our hope in men instead of in Christ. And so in America, we measure churches by men, pastors, and then we measure by their worship styles. Oh, man, that's great worship. That man, they got the bells and whistles of worship, and they're really talented, and that's great, but that's what they're known as, or they're known as a church with a good children's ministry, a student ministry, or facilities, or whatever falls into the category. But that's what Americans look for because we're very individual. But I want to share with you my heart, and it's been this way for 30 years. I promise you, I don't want to be known by a preacher. I don't want to be known by our worship, even though they're great. I want to be known as people that are hungry for God. I mean, hungry for God. And when people come in, they may think, oh, the worship's good, the word is good. But, you know, they're caught up, 1 Corinthians 14, they're caught up when you're representing Jesus Christ and you're hungry for him. And so that always has been my prayer. And, you know, there's certain things I look at over 30 years, 30 plus years, pastoring some of you, and some of you were in our student ministry 40 years ago, but there's, I don't want to lose my thoughts, sorry. I just, it was a good thought, Dale. It was good.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't ask for this illness. I don't like it. And I'm sorry to get old. And I'm sorry to get ill. I know God is going to continue to use me, but I don't like it.
Yes, he will.
And I know suffering is part of this life. And that's where I am. But believe me, before the illness took place, we were already looking at this. I gotta get that point. This is an emotional time for me, not an emotion of regret. In fact, as I look over 30 years, there's some things, and since I've got the floor, there's things I want to apologize for. I apologize. I have not led you better at being evangelists of the gospel. I'm a relational person, but I've not led you well. See, five baptisms, that ought to be every week. And I apologize. Another thing I apologize for is I call myself a man of prayer at times, but I have not led well in that area. You know, what is taking place right now that if God were to remove himself, it would fail? I don't know. I just know I want to finish good. I'm not guaranteed that. I thank God for my wife. I can't make it without her. I think, and I'll just say this, but I really believe, Central, the best years are going to come. I really do. Listen, when we started, we couldn't get a handful of godly men. Now we've got over 20 that stood up that are serving and willing to lead in this congregation. And that's not even the hem of the garment for some of you men and women in the way you're growing in your faith. Pam and I love you. You may not love us, but we love you. You know, I used to say, you stay anywhere long enough. I used to say, I can't go anywhere in the community where I don't bump into somebody I know or somebody at Central. And now I jokingly say, I can't go anywhere that I don't bump into somebody that used to go to Central. And not everybody stays forever. But I still get calls to do funerals and to go to the hospital from people that used to go here. I didn't sleep well last night because of the angst of this time. And I'm thinking, why? This is such a good thing. I don't want to be a somber experience. I'm just human. I'm trying to process life. And it's a struggle, you know? Am I alone in this? I think we all understand. We're just given one life to glorify Jesus. Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. Believe me, We are loved, and we know that. Our family has been raised here. We are loved, and we know that. You know, people all over the world are praying for us right now, and I mean literally all over the world. And I'm thinking, man, I'm glad they're praying, because I wouldn't want to go through this. Yeah, if they weren't praying, it would be terrible. I can't imagine. I think I'll stop. But I know what I was going to say. When I was back before the first service, and like I say, I didn't sleep good. I've been in angst, praying, and the emotions and the mental stress. And I was back there with Tim and Mike, and they were helping me get up the stairs and everything. And my heart rate went off on my watch. It said my heart rate was too high, and I've never had that happen before. And so I thought, man, God, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. But let me say this in closing. I have no reservations of following Dr. Brett McDonald. I have no reservations at all. And I will be his number one cheerleader. I will be there whatever he needs. I will be there to give him counsel as needed. And I will be there for him.